What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Broadcasting live from the greatest city in the world.
Austin, Texas, baby.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
You guys want to play some twos?
You know what? Actually, we're kind of in the middle of a conversation.
B&E.
What's B&E?
Bucky Godbolt, Aaron Hogan on the Horn, 104.9 AM 1260 and hornfm.com with the Longhorns Play and Austin Talks Sports.
You think we've gotten too radical with our message? Well, I got news for you. You ain't heard nothing yet. And if you don't know, now you know, glory, glory.
Put it together for Ty Harrington. How about this guy? Back again. Back again. We had to go to the bullpen with the Buck down this week, and man, pulled out an ace. Like Christian Javier out of the bullpen for us this week. Thank you, sir.
Well, I've had a blast. Thank you. I appreciate you guys including me, and T.Y., appreciate you dragging me along through this as well. And I think E's done a pretty decent job of not confusing us with the same name most of the time. I think the only person that really confuses is me the most, because every time you say Tyler T.Y., I kind of look up and T.Y. behind the glass understands who he's talking to.
No, yeah, it's okay. Bucky calls me Trey like once a day at least. So.
It took me a little while to not call you Zay anymore.
You called me Ty Harrington a few times.
I've called you Ty Harrington.
Well, I'm okay with it. Actually, I appreciate that, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, Ty H squared in the house again this morning, Bucky. Hopefully back tomorrow. Hope I don't know if Bucky's going to make the high school game tonight. The Lake Travis game with Bowie. By the way, that they did not move that game up. Let's just hope everybody's okay with the weather. The severe weather is supposed to roll in here ahead of kickoff tonight, but right around 5 o'clock, depending on where you are on that. Because if you're way west, obviously you're going to get it sooner. If you're east, you're going to get it later. That storm moving west to east as the cold front hits and. Good stuff. So we have a lot to do coming up. We'll get to the Flex segment with all the games last night, including Westlake winning their 50th consecutive game and did it pretty easily. Also a record set, which we'll get to in the headlines coming up. We're talking baseball. And, you and I were talking in the break, and we'll get to the rundown of why he had such another big game last night. But Jeremy Pena, I've taken to calling him Baby Jeter. Because I remember Bucky makes fun of me because when Jose Altuve first came up and no one really knew who Jose was, I started calling him Little Petey Altuve because the way he plays reminded me of Pete Rose. Just the littler guy, but always hustling, running 100 miles an hour, running through walls and hit machine. And, I still think there's a little bit of similarity. Obviously, Pete was a left-handed hitter and a switch hitter. Jose's just right-handed. But just Jeremy Pena, I don't want to get over my skis, but he's got this Jeter to him that – Derek Jeter was on a team of superstars in New York that won 4 world championships, but he stood out above them just because in the critical moments, he just made huge plays. And whether he's on the field or he's at the plate or he's just doing something on the base, he's 25 years old and he's the first rookie ever to win a gold glove at shortstop. He's the first rookie shortstop ever to hit a home run in the World Series. He was the ALCS MVP. And you're on a roster that includes Altuve and Bregman and Alvarez and Tucker and all these dudes, and he's the guy that really has become the glue to the team. It's pretty incredible.
Well, if there's one thing he's almost done wrong, they asked him to do something he probably wasn't prepared to do. Right at that time, they asked him to bunt, and he's bunted one time. We talked about that yesterday. And you look at it, and finally he gets a base hit after that, right? He extends that inning. Really, they got the whole inning for Bregman to come up and hit the double. Then you look at what he did last night, the hit and run last night to me, or the run and hit, whichever. Oh, my gosh, that's so beautiful. I mean, the C's parted, the second baseman going to cover the bag, and he just grabs his hands inside that baseball and just shoots it the other way to make it runners on first and third. And again, the defensive side of it has been through the roof all year long. And then last night, it was fitting. Truly, to me, fitting. The ball's hit to his right. He goes over, fills the ball, looks so easy and routine to everybody else. It's not. You're going away from your throwing motion.
For the final out?
For the final out. Puts that right foot down, sets up, gets his shoulder squared, makes a strike throw across to end the game. I thought was kind of fitting. But to your point, this guy has played. He has embraced this moment. I mean, he has hugged it. He has stepped right in. A lot of people, these moments come up, and they take a step back, and they're like,
Well, that's the thing. Even great players, right? Altuve's had his slumps, and he's been off a little bit. Jordan hasn't done much at all in the World Series after the unbelievable, first start to the playoffs for him. It's been the one consistent throughout this run for Houston has been Pena. Whether it's the divisional series, into the Yankee series, and into this series, other guys have been up and down. he's been so rock solid, and it's fun to watch. And he, as you say, embracing. He's got this baby face smile like Jeter used to have back in the day. That's not easy to, you know, and Jeter was a young player too. And then in 98, when it all began, he was on a team of a bunch of Hall of Fame guys. That's hard to do, to stand out among those guys. And, you know, credit to him in a big moment again last night, which is fun to watch for sure. And obviously, for an Astros fan, gives you optimism that this run is not near done for them. I mean, hopefully they can win one more game and win a World Series. But when you've got Christian Javier at 25 and Peña at 25 and you know, Framber Valdez, a young pitcher, and all these, you know, this is a really quality team, and it feels like he's kind of taking the leadership reins along with Bregman and the rest. I mean, it's an interesting team. As for the Phillies, they'll be right back in this thing. We'll talk about the pitching matchup coming up, because I think they're gonna have a hard time with Framber Valdez on Saturday night. But let's get to the headlines, the trending topics, and all the things we're kicking around on this Friday morning. Top Gun Equipment Rentals bring it to you. Yeah, we'll start with that baseball. Astros head off the Phillies 3-2 last night in Game 5 of the World Series. They take a 3-2 series lead in the best of 7, one win to a championship now. Justin Verlander earned his elusive first World Series win of his career. 9 tries he's had, got one last night. Tossed 5 innings, allowed just a single run. Kyle Schwarber's leadoff home run to start the game. That was it. He battled out of multiple jams, but got through 5 innings. Houston's rookie shortstop Jeremy Peña, as we talked about, continued his incredible postseason. Singled home the first run of the game with Jose Altuve in the first inning. In the fourth inning, his solo home run gave Houston the lead for good. And then in the eighth inning, a single through the right side that moved Altuve to third. And he then scored a huge insurance run on a fielder's choice. Astros go on to win it 3-2. The bullpen was tremendous, too, for Houston. Recorded 12 outs. Ryan Pressly recorded the final 5 of those with an inning and a half save there. Game 6 tomorrow night, if necessary, Sunday night for Game 7. It'll be Framber Valdez against Zach Wheeler. Week 9 in the NFL kicked off last night in Houston. Texans hosting the Eagles. It was Philadelphia getting the better of it. Jalen Hurts threw a pair of second-half touchdown passes as the Eagles kind of shook off a sluggish first half to pull away and win it 29-17. Eagles 8-0 on the year, first time in franchise history they've been 8-0. Texans fall to 1-6-1. Final week of the high school football regular season kicked off last night with a bevy of Thursday night games. That includes the historic night at the Burger Center. LBJ blanked Crockett 49-0, and in the early part of the game, Jaguars running back Cedric Alexander, ran into the record book.
On second down and 7, the ball is at the Crockett Cougar 17-yard line. The handoff to the right side, Alexander turning the corner. Alexander to the 10, to the 5, touchdown and a record for Cedric Alexander. 17 yards on the touchdown run for Cedric Alexander, who has just become the all-time career rushing leader in AISD history.
Certainly did. The great Craig Way on the call last night on 105.3 The Bat. Also last night, Westlake Flat and Buta Johnson 70-10. That's the 50th consecutive win for the Shaps. Incredible. Vandergriff ripped Westwood 59-10. Hayes on top of Lehman 49-29. And Hutto held off Weiss in a really good game 41-38. Full slate of high school football coming tonight, weather permitting and pending. It's Lake Travis hosting Bowie right here on the Horn tonight. That'll go live with 6:30 tonight pregame. Flex ATX pregame with Snoop and the gang. NBA. Disturbing story from San Antonio. A former Spurs psychologist has filed a lawsuit against the team and a former player, Joshua Primo, for indecent exposure incidents. She claims team officials ignored and attempted to cover up. Dr. Hillary Cawthon said that in her suit, that Primo, who recently was waived, exposed his genitals to her 9 times during their individual private sessions. She reported the incidents to the team, but nothing was done.
Horn Headlines brought to you by Top Gun Rentals and Lawn Equipment. We got turkeys running scared and running for office this month. So come gobble up great deals on steel lawn equipment for fall at Top Gun. TopGun.net. We'll shoot you straight.
All right, so be careful out there. The rain, heavy stuff, not till this afternoon, but it's a little overcast and slick out there. I saw where there's a rollover wreck on 35 coming north, so 35 coming up towards 71 is a mess as usual, and messier than even usual. That's no good. But we've got baseball. We've got football. I did watch the Eagles and the Texans on my iPad and streaming right in front of me, watching the ball game and then that. And, you know, my prediction yesterday wrong. I thought the Eagles would cover and win that game 31-6. But I did say the only way they don't cover is if they get off to a slow start, which is exactly what they did on a Thursday night. You know, Texans came out in their cool red uniforms and helmets and, you know, played even with them. And a Jalen Hurts fumble early in the game that led to a short field touchdown was really the only way the Texans were going to score. Now, Damian Pierce, their young running back, is really a good player. And if you're an Eagle fan, you're kind of disappointed that they let him, you know, put up 130-some yards rushing on 27 carries, because that was really all the Texans had. They were without their top two receivers, and they still were able to run on that Eagles defense. So that's something to work on if you're Nick Sirianni. But they got control of it. They win it 29-17, and Ty was right. Not you, Ty. That Ty. Because he said that they would cover the 14. I said they wouldn't, the Texans, and they did. Good job, Ty.
Thank you.
He said 14 points are a lot in an NFL game.
Is that right?
Is that what you said?
Two scores like that. I mean, two touchdowns. All it takes is a Jalen Hurts fumble. You know who really struggled last night? And a lot of times late in the season, the units that struggle the most in these quick turnaround short Thursday games are the lines of scrimmage. The offensive linemen, right? They haven't gotten their bodies back. And, boy, the offensive line with Philadelphia is one of the best in the league, and they struggled. Texans did not. Texans played pretty well. And let's also remember the Texans were embarrassed on their home field last week by the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry, and they came in and just bully-balled the Texans all over the place. I kind of felt like they'd play with a little more fight last night, and they did. But in the end, the Eagles get the win. And I know people are criticizing the Eagles that maybe they're not the best team in the NFC. I just think that was a rough first half. They took control of it. They're 8-0. It's hard to go 8-0 in the National Football League. You're going to have your ups and downs. This Eagles team, I mean, the Cowboys and they are right now, San Francisco, as they get healthier. But I think the Eagles are right there. And Jalen Hurts continues to show why he's, maybe an MVP in the league.
49ers getting healthy, yes. And, when they add McCaffrey, I think that guy creates
been, he's already been offensive player of the week in his first game.
I just think he creates – well, you're already going to prepare for a pretty good NFL team when you play the 49ers. Now they add a dynamic that he can run, he can throw, he can catch. He threw one. But he can catch, he can run, he can do so many different things. Sometimes now you're having to have two people to account for him. And I think that was a tremendous addition for the 49ers, without any doubt.
No question. And, Eagles 8-0, Cowboys on their bye week sitting at 6-2. They won't play this weekend, obviously, and come out of that on the other side. So good stuff there. The NFL weekend is coming fast and furious. So we'll get to some of the previews of those games. Also, the college football weekend, we've talked Georgia-Tennessee, LSU-Alabama, Texas, of course, and K-State. We're going to hear from Steve Sarkisian here coming up. Let me mention the passing of the great Ray Guy.
Yeah.
Now Shane Leckler is your cousin?
Yeah, cousin. Yep.
Shane Leckler, the great punter out of Texas A&M, who he was a damn good punter for a long, long time. He is your cousin. Even he would look at Ray Guy and go, "Dang, that's the goat."
Well, he was, and actually, he and Ray Guy used to do a lot of clinics and camps together.
Really?
And yes, and he used to confide in Ray Guy quite a bit because he was a Raider. Shane was a Raider, and drafted out of A&M, and so he spent a lot of time with him, and they did camps and clinics, and like I said, he would talk to him often. But he was the first, Ray Guy, even my era, he was the first one that made punting a huge deal. Like you watch TV to watch a punter kick the ball, and then and now I firmly believe it. And obviously I'm sorry to hear with the passing of him as well, but selfishly I believe, and I think it's going to happen, Shane will end up being in the Hall of Fame as a punter.
You think so?
Yeah, I do. I really do. I think when you look, he had to break a lot of Ray Guy's records, if not all of them, to get to that point. And so I do. I think there's a chance. And again, that's family. Maybe it's biased talk. But I do think for a punter to even be considered a Hall of Fame. But I do. I think he gets in.
That's interesting. And having grown up and going to the Astrodome, there was a point at the Astrodome where people would tell you Ray Guy punted a football and hit the roof of the Astrodome. Yeah. And I'd get in there and you'd look up and you go, "There's no way Ray Guy hit the roof of the Astrodome."
Well, about that.
Yeah.
That's
unbelievable.
Yeah.
But the legend says that he did. The legend says Ray Guy once kicked a ball so high it hit the roof of the Astrodome.
Well, I can tell you this. We went to the Thanksgiving game when Shane was still with the Raiders, and in the Cowboys Stadium, and Jerry just put that big scoreboard that hangs down.
Yeah.
So you know who was out there just trying his dead level best just to kick it up there and hit the scoreboard, and he did. And actually, Jerry Jones' story, and I was standing, Jerry went over there and said, "Hey, quit hitting, trying to kick my scoreboard." And Shane, put a little grin on his face and kept trying to boot him up there. And so
Nice. Well, Ray Guy passing, a legend for sure. Longhorns trying to make it six straight over K-State Saturday. Remember, 6 o'clock kick. Our pregame coverage goes live at 2 o'clock. Come hang out with Rod and Harge and I. We'll be over at the Lavaca Street Bar on South Lamar. Great spot to get you primed and ready for that game and keep up with the other games of the day. And you asked the question. You wonder if Harge and Rod got out of Terry Black's barbecue yesterday. I went down there and hung out with those guys. They had eaten that lunch like ahead of the show, which Rod says he never does. He never eats before the show, but he did because it was just too darn good. And they were going to eat after. I'm like, y'all, man, going to have to roll you guys out of here. But appreciate Terry and that team. But we'll be over at South Lamar, Lavaca Street Bar. Come hang out. Here's Sark yesterday, had his weekly Thursday Zoom, and talked about the bye-week practices, and he's very encouraged by what he's seen. You know, we've talked about the players-only meeting after the Oklahoma State game, and attention to detail was the focus of those meetings with the players of every little thing matters. And Sark on Monday talked about that was one of their best practices that they had that Monday morning coming out of the bye. Here's Sark on the entire week where he feels like they've been pretty crisp.
You had the bye, coming off the bye. You know, I think I mentioned it Monday to you guys, but I was really impressed with our guys' ability to come back kind of re-energized, refocused. I think they did a nice job of kind of hitting the reset button with some time away. And came back and practiced with great energy, great intent, a real edge about them that, you know, I praised them for it today, you know, for the four straight day. It's been 4 days, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of just really practicing the way that, you know, I think you need to practice in November. And I thought Monday and Tuesday were extremely physical. I thought we really fine tuned some things yesterday and today, and feel good about the focus of the team. And obviously we're going into a great environment against a very good football team. And it's going to take really good focus, really good mental intensity, and really everybody kind of coming together as one and playing as one to get a victory.
All right, so there's and you know, it sounds like Coach speak to some, but you've coached long enough. You can tell when your team is practicing with intent.
Yeah, I think that, again, the practice part of it, I know everybody wants the wins, and I truly do too, and so does Sark, and so does every coach, but you don't win unless you do prepare well. I mean, you keep hearing him refer, and I love this. I got to be honest with you. I like the idea. He refers to his team through the practice sessions, through the preparation, and getting ready for these games. And he likes the way they practice. And if you keep doing it on a regular basis and you keep that momentum in practice, at some point in time, you're going to get that breaking point where it pays off for you. And it already has to some level. It's going to pay off for you in a big way. And those guys are going to understand it, sense it, feel it, taste it. This is why Coach kept telling us, we got to prepare hard. We got to be ready on Monday and Tuesday. That's when you give your speeches, by the way. You want to know when a coach gives his pregame speech? It's Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. If you got to give your speech to your team on Saturday, you didn't do a very good job Monday through Friday trying to get them to that point in time. And so I like the idea. I love to hear him talk about how he prepares, how his team, and you listen to his players and their conversations and their interviews, they refer back to, you know, the mental part of the game and their preparation part of the game.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was doing some stuff for our, you know, we have a golf course of the month now where we spotlight it. It's brought to you by Callahan's General Store, and we were at UT Club on Tuesday, and we were doing our video part, and you'll see a bunch of these videos coming out with Omar Uresti, the professional golfer from Austin, mm-hmm. who you went to college with.
Yeah, I did.
And I was talking to him, you know, we played a couple holes. Omar played the two toughest holes there at UT Club and parred them both, had little tap-in pars, almost birdied them both. And I said, man, you make it look easy. And he said, you know, that's why people find golf so hard. They watch the best players in the world, and they think it's easy. And what they don't see is the hours and hours and hours and hours on the range and the time we take to make it look easy. And that's kind of the point for any sport. I mean, you watch them play. When great athletes make something look that is really hard look easy, don't overlook how much work went into that. That's the thing you always got to consider, and that's for Texas. I mean, if you're going to be better in the fourth quarter, you got to be better in the last part of your practice every day. You have to take it to that level and finish out how to finish these games. Let's talk to Sark from Sark on this win. How important is this? Coming out of the bye, you're 5-3. I think the next 2 weeks kind of is a balancing act of, is this a really good season for Texas, or is this another disappointing season in year two for Sark? I think it's right there because they go back-to-back losses to number 13 and number 7 in the country. You know, this season gets away from you. You win them, and certainly win Saturday, you can really turn some momentum within your program. Here's Sark on the importance of a win tomorrow night.
Well, I think that the conversation that we've had is, you know, I always do my best not to not talk about things that are the obvious, right? If there's an elephant in the room, I try to address it. And obviously that's, we all know what our goal is. We all know that that's where we want to be December 3rd. But to get there, we have to take care of this one first. You know, there's an old adage in football, you know, what you do in November is what they remember. And we've got an opportunity in November to do something special here. We got four games against four really good teams, but we can't worry about games 2, 3, and 4 unless we take care of game number one. And so I think the guys have done a really good job of focusing on the task at hand. And that's playing a really good football game Saturday night. And we'll see if that's good enough, you know, but we have to play well to get the result that we want. And I think that, you know, we all want to win on Saturday. You have to do the work, you know, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday to put yourself in the best position for the result. And I think our team has done that. And again, I commended them again today at the end of practice. So I was really proud of them with the focus that they've had this week in practice, the mental intensity, the energy that they brought. And those are all good signs. But again, now we have to go play.
All right, there's Sark kind of reiterating everything we just talked about. We'll come back when we do. We pick up our flex segment, the good games from last night, historic for Cedric Alexander. We'll also continue to talk World Series. Astros will win away now. Also, if you're a fan of the New Orleans Saints, not good news coming down this morning. We'll get you details there in some NFL chatter. It's B&E with you, with Ty Harrington hanging out. Ty Henderson through the glass. You are here. Be careful out there. Slick streets and kind of a mess. Be safe. We'll get you there on 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260. Always streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
It's Bucky and Aaron.
Be careful out there Friday morning. You just got a note from your daughter who lives up in Oklahoma City. She said that storm's already there in Oklahoma City.
It is rolling through there as we speak. And she's actually, I just told you, she's on her. She's a medical device salesperson with Arthrex, and she's on her way to go see Skip Johnson speak, who she's known since she was in diapers. And because he's speaking at some convention in Oklahoma City over with some orthopedics. And so
cool.
Appreciate Malene listening in this morning.
She listened on the Horn app. And
she did.
Everybody that takes us wherever they go and listens on the Horn app, good to hear she's listening. Be careful because the roads are slick here, but it's a mess with these storms moving through. And up there, it's already there. It'll be here later this afternoon down on this end of the cold front that's coming through. So be advised. Also, speaking of baseball, and Skip Johnson, of course, the head coach at Oklahoma, the head coach at Texas will be with us next hour in this spot. 9:30, David Pierce will be with us. They are having their Fall World Series. You know, the rain's going to move through today. The weather this weekend is going to be beautiful.
Yep.
It's going to be a great weekend. Temperatures right around 75, 70, you know, 80 degrees. And they're going to have a couple ball games out at Dish Falk Field. You can see this new-look team. They played last night. It's their inter-squad fall World Series where they, and apparently they're going new guys versus the older guys, the guys who have been here versus the newcomers, and there are a lot of them for Texas. So we'll talk to David Pierce about who is showing out and get to know this new team for 2023 because, of course, their season will start coming up in February. So we'll talk to Coach Pierce. We've got Lee Sterling coming your way to make picks from ParamountSports.com. We'll go head-to-head with John McClellan and Supreme Lending. Craig Wage report's coming, so we are, you know, more than halfway through this show. We still have a lot to cover between now and then. Also, really hoping that leaving the ballpark last night that my man Jim McInvale, Mattress Mac, was just letting him have it in Philadelphia. Letting him have it after taking back-to-back wins in 3-2. And the Phillies were so confident after what went on in Game 3 that they were going to get a hold of this series. Astros back-to-back, a no-hitter. And then, as you said coming in, Buck, Ty, as a baseball geek, everything you want in a baseball. I'm sure Coach Pierce, when we talk to him next hour, would say the same thing, that just tough and tight. We said of 78 plate appearances, only one at-bat of the 78 plate appearances of the game last night did the batter in the batter's box not have a chance to tie the game or take the lead. That's crazy. That's tense.
It's tense, and it was so beautifully played in so many different ways and so many – I mean, again, there's going to be a ton of high school, college coaches, pro guys taking that game last night and using it as a teaching, you know, tool moving forward for their teams. It was because there were so many things. Even, you know, the first inning, you know, they don't play the ball clean, right, and end up on third base, and then the infield comes
Altuve.
Up, right? The infield comes up.
Yeah.
So Pena hits the ground ball. Had that runner been just at second base, then all of a sudden it's just a ground ground ball to short. Altuve has to hold up. Now you're still a runner at second base. And so the details in the small part of the game, being able to play balls from doubles to, you know, make just keeping them at doubles sometimes. You know, the Astros the night before kicked a ball in from the glove in right field. I can't remember what happened. Went off his glove and led into a double as well. And so the small part of the game last night, if you are a baseball geek like I am, there were so many things, you know, the run, holding the runner at first base, not going in to, you know, extending your the hole right there, or trying to cover the four holes, staying in no doubles. To there was just so many, and I'll say this too, and all the Astros got a guy thrown out to plate and got in a rundown. Gurriel got ended up getting injured on the deal, but I'm convinced that when they got a runner on third base, they told their runners, look, Philadelphia doesn't handle the ball real well. Let's put runner pressure on them from third base. So we're guessing ground ball. So as a runner at third base, you're going on contact and you're guessing they're going to hit the ball down the ground. When they do, you go. If they make a great throw, you try to stay in a rundown, which he did, which allowed the runner to get back to second base to get into scoring position as well.
Flex ATX for the best high school sports coverage. Listen to the horn and go to FLXATX.com. Flex 30 is brought to you by Brain Vault. Brain Vault is a revolutionary and patented mouth guard that has been proven to help reduce the risk of concussion. Visit BrainVault.com and join the movement.
All right, Flex segment real quick. I just saw some news flash that if we were doing Flex a couple years ago, this guy would have been on our list. Cameron Dicker, the Great Lake Travis kicker, former Longhorn. He has signed with the L.A. Chargers. L.A. Chargers, of course, had a game-winning kick earlier this year and with the Eagles, and now here he is going to the L.A. Chargers who are looking for a leg. Good luck to Cameron. Now, Flex ATX, we know there were games last night. Congratulations to the Westlake Shaps, win number 50 in a row. Just ridiculous. They beat Buda Johnson 70-10, and as typical of a Westlake team, they're getting better as the year goes. More and more primed for the playoffs. They're the district champs in 26-6A again. A perfect season so far, and 50 in a row. We mentioned their last loss for the Westlake Shaps came October 11th of 2019.
I think I'm going to have some of the Westlake defensive guys in before our Flex show tonight to have a little interview, so maybe we'll have some sound
for
that.
Oh, cool,
since
they've already done, that'll be awesome. So congratulations to Coach Salazar. Also congrats to Vandergriff. Vipers beat up Westwood 56-10. They're the champions of District 25-6A. Remember, they lost that game early to Dripping Springs and then haven't lost since. They've been very impressive in their wins, 56-10 over Westwood. Also, that's a little bit of a neighborhood battle there, Westwood and Vandergriff and Westwood, next-door neighbors. And same thing down in Hayes. You had Lehman and Buda, or Lehman and Hayes. Hayes beat them last night to take bragging rights there. LBJ beat Crockett. We've played the highlight from Craig Way. Cedric Alexander becomes the all-time leading rusher in the history of the Austin Independent School District. Congratulations to him. Good stuff there. And now we've got a full slate of games coming your way. By the way, game of the night last night, I thought was, how about this game, Ty? Hutto and Weiss, 41-38. Hutto gets the win. Coach, you know, Will Hammond, the quarterback, getting it done. That's a big win right there.
Yeah, the Hippos have been closing out the year strong. You know, going in the playoffs, it's always nice to get a win, get rested on this. They'll have a little extended break here before the playoffs start.
All right, so you've got games to watch tonight. Obviously, Georgetown and Cedar Park. What a ball game that'll be. The Eagles playing really, really good football. Stony Point and Manor, that's a big ball game as far as you know, playoff opportunities. We know can come down to point differential. Rouse and Elgin, Vista Ridge, Round Rock, Taylor and Gerald tonight. Regents and St. Michael's, another good one. Remember, our buddy Snoop Daniel, he's going to be on Fox 7 News this morning, every Friday morning at 9:45. He jumps on there and becomes a TV star for a little bit and does a good job.
Mr. High School.
Mr. Well, we got Craig Way, the Hall of Famer, right?
Well, yeah.
Everybody's Mr. High School is
right.
Craig. And then we got Snoop. You know, he's in there bringing up the young people, right? He's always shining the spotlight on the student athletes and the players and what they do. Snoop's so good at that. And then we try to highlight who's balling out. And speaking of that, you know, we have an assignment due today. We've got every host here, we've got to put our top three at every position. Submit it to the panel, the Flex panel, and the Flex crew, because come next week, as we get ready for the bi-district playoffs, we're going to begin to roll out who are our top three at every position, which will lead to our first ever all-flex team at every position on the field. Quarterback, running back, lineman, receivers, all the defensive spots. So that'll be coming out. So got some homework to do, and I'm digging deep into the numbers and really seeing who's having the best seasons across the board, so that'll be fun as well.
I think you guys have hit a home run with this flex. I do. I think you guys have brought a whole new group of listeners, but really is important to anything else. I mean, high school football and high school sports in general are such a huge deal in the great state of Texas, and I think you guys have done an incredible job of highlighting it and bringing it to life where other, you know, there's not a really a whole lot of other sources like you guys on a regular basis, because it comes out of every one of y'all segments, right?
Yeah, we try to blanket, and just like we would for the Longhorns or for the Cowboys and the NFL, the things people care about, right? Yeah. And nobody cares. I mean, people are passionate about their Longhorns or their favorite NFL team, but there is no passion like the passion for your kids and your kids' performances, and of course for the young people. And you know, it's a great spotlight for these young guys, and you know, paying attention to them, rewarding them, young men and women, because the volleyball all flex team will be announced as well coming up. So excited to cover it.
I get all kind of emotions when Tony Salazar comes on Craig and Jeff and Snoop's show.
You get a little tear in your eye there.
No, I listen to him every week on the way home, and I'm just.
And that was your defensive coordinator.
Oh yeah, I love the guy.
Did he get up in your kitchen a few times?
Oh yeah, we had a few one-on-one conversations in my time at Westlake.
And they get a little bit. It's like me with seeing those Philadelphia Phillies uniforms last night. I'm like, oh my gosh, we're 1980 all over again. I'm sure when you hear Coach Salazar, you're like, oh no. You get a little pit in your stomach thing.
A little tingle.
Oh yeah.
A little PTSD.
Those coaches' meetings, man, never good. I remember when I did the show back in the day with my buddy Mike Rosenthal, of course, who was the longtime football coach at Austin High, but played 8 years in the NFL, but started at Notre Dame in college. Rosie would tell me, man, because Monday, I can't remember who his offensive line coach was. Joe Moore. I think it was Joe Moore when he was at Notre Dame, a legendary offensive line coach. And he said, man, walking across campus towards the facility on a Monday morning, knowing I'm about to go sit down with him, we're going to break down the film. I mean, the pit in my stomach, knowing that, thinking about every missed block, every missed play, and how, I mean, it was just like that walk. Now, if he had a great game, he'd be like running over there to the complex. But that walk over to the coach's office for your film breakdown, especially when it's all your peers in there, those are memorable.
Yeah, I got a lot of quit feeling sorry for yourself while you have your hands on your hips. I was that guy.
Oh, yeah.
Or my favorite film study thing ever is who's this right here? And it's me. Who's me?
And you got to stand up. Yeah. And they got the highlight button on it, too, right?
Yeah, no.
Who is it? And everybody in the room knows who it is,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Rosenthal would say, man, we won the game and we played good, but all I'm thinking about is those four plays that I screwed up, and I know it's about to just get dissected in front of everybody, and I'm going to get cussed. And, you know, that's the way that goes. That's football. That's sports. That's how you get better. That's how you get better. And so we appreciate all the coverage and everything. And congratulations to the district champions, the teams that are playoff bound after last night. It's a lot of work goes into getting yourself to the postseason tournament, which begins next weekend. Of course, several teams can do that again tonight. So congrats to all of them as we get you rolling here. And remember, Snoop on TV, not Fox, on at 9:45 this morning. Always check him out there, and we'll have flex coverage throughout the day. And tonight at 6:30. To get you the Friday flex and get you ready for the high school football. And obviously keep your eyes on the skies because, the storm's likely to be moving through here as you're planning to get out to your game of the night. Looks like it might be clear by the time the games start, but that stretch, that window, and again, it depends on geographically where you are on the map when this storm's going to hit you and come through your way. But keep an eye on that because four to six thirty windows looks like when the worst stuff's going to be in Central Texas. So there you go. There's your flex. We'll come back when we do. Load up your Friday blitz. It's been really good with Coach Harrington in the house. You guys have been surly as usual. So bring that coming. 447-3776. Little salacious gossip. Lee Sterling coming. Coach Pierce. First, it's Craig Way.
Where you get that from? Did Tawana tell you that? Did Tawana tell you that? Because I ain't for no games, okay?
No games, just the gossip. It's brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer of the weekend, because the weekend is here. Hopefully you had a few last night, potentially being safe and smart, but enjoying a nice cold Bud Lightski, like my man Ty will often do, you know, watching a ball game. Or where were you? You were at the fundraiser last night. You'd say Stoney LaRue played?
Stoney did play last night.
In San Antonio?
I did not have a Bud Light. I had to drive back from San Antonio to New Braunfels last night, and I was so locked in on the Astros and I might have, I'm just saying this is not the thing to do, I might have had my phone on in my car where I had going through my radio where I could hear it, and I had it up high enough that when I wasn't
glance at it.
I could glance at it.
That's I do that
all
too.
It was.
I did that
just
too.
A glance.
Because I have DirecTV, so I can watch yep. my phone, my anything on my DirecTV on my phone, so do the same thing. But yeah, no, just set it in the cup.
And I got really a mount in my car for that.
Look at you. You guys are high-tech savvy.
But he's aspiring.
Hey, I didn't ever ask you.
He's an aspiring gambler.
You never know when I have to watch a game.
You were nice enough to invite me a few weeks ago or a little bit ago to the Turnpike Troubadour show at Whitewater Amphitheater.
Oh,
it was
a
Thursday
show.
Night, and I was like, I don't know if I can make that. I think there was a World Series playoff game that night, too. And so how was it?
Incredible. I'm telling you, it was absolutely incredible. They had the lead-in shows. And I can't remember the gentleman's name. He played in... I've seen him before at Green. His name will come to me in a minute. He was his voice is so beautiful, but the Troubadours were on fire. They were so good that night. Great crowd. That's the second time I guess I've seen them.
And happy
a long time
together.
Since I've seen them. Very happy together. They look good together. They play great together, and it was some kind of it was a good show.
Now I just said on our flex day with you to watch Snoop Daniel on Fox 7 TV. At 9:45, he's already there. He's live in studio.
He's Snoop. Giving a full analysis of his outfit right now.
Well, he's wearing swim trunks.
Oh, I love
that
it.
If you've never seen Snoop, that is the character of Snoop Daniel, wearing his Austin City Limits T-shirt, his swim trunks, and some type of hoodie with his Laker cap. So Snoop is on TV. I'm sure they're talking high school football playoffs and what's coming, Cedric and Alexander, and good stuff there. So go check that out. But don't turn off your radio. Lock it in right here because we've got Salacious Gossip brought to you by Bud Light. Whether you're at the Whitewater Amphitheater watching Turnpike or great music this weekend, watching sports, do it with the official domestic beer partner, the Texas Longhorns and the Texas X's. It is Bud Light, brewed by Texans right here in Texas, deep in the heart, and number one selling light beer in the world, whatever you're doing this weekend. All right, looks like Jay-Z and Jeff Bezos, two of the most successful and people in their fields in the world are interested in buying the Washington Commanders in light of Dan Snyder's interest in selling the team. So Jeff Bezos, of course, an Amazon billionaire. He also owns the Washington Post. Jay-Z, of course, and Roc Nation, his big agency. So we'll keep an eye on that. Think the Billionaire Boys Club are going to be okay with Jay-Z and Bezos joining the Billionaire Boys Club?
I don't know if they would be, but I think I would be. I think it'd be fun to see. I mean, look, you get all your stuff delivered to the stadium for free. All the entertainers coming in to play at halftime or before the game.
We'll see. We're going to keep an eye on that story, no doubt about it, because that's, you know. I remember when Mark Cuban bought the Mavericks, and he kind of shook up the NBA with the way he came into the league.
Jay-Z's already been an owner of the Brooklyn Nets.
That's true. That's absolutely true. And of course, Brett Yormark, the new commissioner of the Big 12, was working at Roc Nation before coming to the Big 12. So, yeah, we'll see. And Bezos obviously has the deepest of pockets. Outside of Elon Musk, he's got the deepest of pockets. And there we go. So, a little salacious gossip on this Friday morning. Let's go to your blitz because it's loaded already. We got some other stories we can get to, but let's get you fired up here on this Friday.
The Bucky and E Blitz.
The Morning Blitz brought to you by Apple Leasing, where you only have to pay for the new half of the car or truck, the half under factory warranty, in any make, any model. Click appleleasing.com and see how easy it is.
Finish the week strong. First blitzer, you are up.
Hey, Coach Harrington, thanks for coming in this week, but we don't need you next Monday because we're just going to talk about how Texas found ways to lose a game because that's what they're known for. But, hey, do you recognize Barry Bonds as the MLB's greatest all-time home run hitter?
Ooh, good question.
Ooh, that is a great question.
On the spot.
Yeah, I mean, I do recognize him as that.
Damn good player.
Yeah.
Roids or not. Next blitzer, you're up.
Hey, guys, it's Mike here.
Hey, Mike.
I just want to say I am not worried about the Astros one bit, and I'll tell you why. We are the clutchest team with runners in scoring position, and if you can put up one crooked number a game in the World Series, you're good to go.
That's right.
That's what they've been doing.
That's what they've been doing. I don't think there wasn't a crooked number in any inning last night, was there? Bunch of singles.
Well, we had.
Next blitzer, you're up. No conversations on the blitz.
So, pitching and defense still works, huh? Somebody remind Sark that pounding the rock and stopping the run still works as well. Pound that rock 49 times.
I think I'm going to let you hear Sark coming up. He had an answer for you yesterday on his Zoom call, specifically for the blitzer right there. Next blitzer, you're up.
Old Ty, he said Coach Salazar used to give you a couple rimmings back in the day, huh?
Yeah, he did.
Next, Butcher, you're up.
E.
Yes.
Tell Coach Sark to tell Coach PK, stop those bunch formations. Higher.
Yeah. Last somebody blitzer of the week. Last blitzer of the week. Let's go.
Okay. We got a W coming for the Aggies. We got Wigman and all the freshmen. We're hurt. We're going to beat Florida Gators. Giggum, have a great weekend.
Hey, Giggum. How about wrapping up the blitz with a Giggum? I don't think Longhorn fans are going to like that a lot. Yeah, the caller who calls the blitz every day and says pound the rock, Sark was smart. Sark had an answer for that yesterday. He really did. Also, we're going to have Lee Sterling making picks in the big games of the weekend, as only Lee can do. Also, the insights that go with it. David Pierce, got one baseball coach in the house. Might as well add another. We'll catch Coach Pierce. They're having their fall World Series up there to wrap up their fall workouts. A lot of new faces, as we said with Greg Swindell yesterday. Might need some Hello, My Name Is stickers on that Texas team. Who are these guys? You've had teams like that before where they're all brand new.
Hey, instead of a play sheet, you have your roster. You're carrying it around trying to make sure you know everybody's names.
Let's go to timeout. We'll be right back. Lee Sterling making picks next.